Hello, everyone, and welcome to the God of War podcast. I am joined by Adam J. Harrington. Sindri, how does the day find you? You beyond legend of a human being.
Well, the day finds me much better after that.
Oh,
that description
had to be said, man.
And are you wearing a Ragnarok?
I am indeed.
Oh, man, I don't even have one of those.
I'm sending you one.
Nah.
No, I am.
I have. Oh, okay. I was going to say, I have contacts.
You do.
I know people.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. We always do with a spare.
That's very so true.
We have people who have jumped over from just having recorded with. She gave you the biggest like, and introducing my favorite Huldra brother. That's Danielle. She was just doing that for you right now.
That's amazing. How was your time with her? Oh.
It was lots of jubilance and unfettered joy, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. But at the core of that, once again, we're talking about actual psychological arc that herself, the person, which is as you as a formidable
as a person,
Christian teacher, as a person, as a
as
human
a person,
being, would know that moving through it yourself, then you don't actually have to perform. You just move through it and then you depict it and you channel what's actually happening in your life into the character, and you destroyed me with this one, man. You destroyed Sindri.
Yeah, I'm. Is that? Sorry, when you say that, that's what you and Danielle were talking about when Danielle was talking
authenticity.
About her stuff. Ah, got it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I'm. You know, she moved through some stuff in her own life, but just with yourself and Sindri, I mean, that I suppose launches us off. A bit.
All right, let's dive in.
So you and Sindri and accessing clearly what is so evident on screen that you went to in yourself, if you wanted to walk us through a bit of that as much as you're comfortable sharing.
Okay.
It's clearly very personal, you know.
I think it all started off with a conversation with Eric Williams and Matt Sophos and what the character arc is going to be for this game. And I had already gone into 2018 with not having told anybody, but a little bit of my approach to somebody with that level of germophobia, even though it was charming, had to be based in something that I could draw from, and it just wouldn't be a gag. For me, anyway, over and over. Hopefully, however it came out to people playing the game. But I thought, well, there's been a... He desperately needs to get control of something, or there's been a trauma. I never told anybody that, but that's just how I approached it. So when they told me what was happening with this game and what had happened previously with Brock, and we're getting into spoilers, right?
No, we absolutely are. Please
okay.
go ahead.
So with what happened, Brock, and as he puts it as three of the four soul bits and all that stuff, it just helped me go deeper into that. But then I always just work with what's on the page. And, you know, the reality for Sindri was he already had gone through, you know, prior to this, he goes and gets the three of the four soul bits. So here is somebody, and looking at their own humanity, who didn't want his brother to die.
Yeah.
And now has three, four soul bits. So now it's up to Sindri whether he will die or not. Because if he's got enough to make him somewhat whole again, does he then deny his brother that? So that's gone on for him in the past. And maybe just thinking, la, 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 la. We'll put it off. We'll put it off. We'll put it off. And then he creates this house, the realm between the realms, the safest place to be. And his brother is murdered in front of his eyes with his own kitchen knife.
Yeah.
Also, and then add to that, his brother will not find rest. And that's Sindri's fault. And Odin killed his brother. And I can even see it on you right now, Albert. When you just think about these unimaginable things, it takes you down a hole.
Yeah.
So I thought that, sorry, go ahead.
No, and all I was going to say is I want to affirm everything you've expressed in terms of irreconcilable, unimaginable levels of grief. My mother-in-law passed, mother-in-law-to-be passed in February from cancer.
I'm so sorry. It is that
sense of the completely unjust, not that death is ever just when it comes to loved ones, especially. And not to get super personal too close off the bat, but yeah, like one thing with the tradition of it was that, so she was a Muslim, you know, mm-hmm. my fiance is Muslim and it was her mother. And so part of that is to actually bury very quickly. Everything's done extremely quickly. And I actually was part of the, like the lowering, like we lowered her, you know, yeah, man, like if you need any more proof that this is like the frontier empathy engaging, like there is no art but you, the player becomes the art, you are the art. Like if you need any more evidence of that and of where we're at with this art form and how it can transcend art form and performance entertainment really and just become about a human moment, mm-hmm. you know, between a fictional character, you know, an audience or, you know, a player, you need look absolutely no further than your performance of Sindri, especially with that funeral scene, man. It is rough. It is rough to watch.
Yeah.
I'm balancing my joy levels and gratitude and feeling honored levels with my like actual feeling. That's why I called the episode The Sundered Holder, not just for the alliteration, but sundered means split apart. It means destroyed, you know?
Yeah. And to kind of go back to what you were saying, that anyway, that's how I approached it. And I mean, it's just unbearable. And then of course my job was to, you know, bring that to life. And most importantly is make that as relatable to the players as possible so that they would not only believe, oh yeah, I can buy that. That's good writing, but also feel it.
Yeah. And when it comes to feeling, this is the thing is, you know, we have, obviously you had Boulder in the first story, and his arc there, Jeremy, with mm-hmm. being able to open oneself up to like a whole other spectrum of emotions that he had, you know, and that shift from humor to, I said this to Danielle about her shift. Like I just haven't seen, and it is unresolved. We are leaving this character in a very real and timeline accurate from the moment of death. Like he hasn't even begun the first stages. You know? It rung as completely true, and it engaged this is something that only gaming can do, because the art form does not like game, like film or series or music, which can play without you. Is there's no you, there's no game without you. Like gaming turns you into the art. And when I was, there's been so many calls for a game where we can play as Sindri. I think that's the fulfillment of that empathy. I think people want to be maybe a Sindri in a happier time. There was like an Animal Crossing proposal, I think, on some episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is kind of funny. You're invariably going to speak with them at some point, but they were like, could we just have like the really fun game where it's just the two brothers like creating armor, and you can, it's sort of like a, you know, like a side title where you can just build things, and it's a, but that was, I think to some degree, I think because you are so dramatically, like you're a titan of this level of like humanity engaging performance.
Thank you.
That I can't wait to see what's ahead, and certainly the path is open for Sindri. My current theory, which you can be poker faced about, I said this to Danielle, is so obviously it has to be about Sindri processing his grief. Like that's the tail end, and it should be what is contended with in the next one. Danielle knows a thing or two about dealing with grief and the loss, and so she could be there, and it would be you and her and Kratos as a unit traveling to, I think, the world of Aztec myth, because they have a thing or two to say about world's ending. So with
This is my poker face.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. So,
honestly, nobody knows anything.
I know.
Nobody knows anything. And better, I have my ideas. you know, of where, at least where, what happens to Sindri after he disappears after the funeral. But better minds than mine will come up with what happens, and I will gleefully join it. But yeah, to your point, at the end of the funeral, there's just nothing.
Yeah.
There's just nothing left.
All right.
I even remember when we shot it, you know, dropping the torch, or what was the torch. And I'd forgot it until I saw the cutscenes that I actually, where Sindri was so, he's so spent that he's even losing his balance a bit at the very end. There's a weird step he makes. And I was like, oh yeah, he's even like, there's just nothing. He's just completely, but he
yeah, I mean, I have to ask, and we will be completely respectful of where you want to go and how much you want to share, but was there something you found yourself evoking or revisiting in terms of grief you've experienced in your own life? Again, very respectful of boundaries,
whatever
you want to share.
I don't think for me it's a matter of tapping into something that I had experienced. At least the way I approach acting is for this anyway, tapping into something that would then become Sindri's. It was just seeing what the story was and it just, the stakes of it were just so unimaginable. It wasn't very, it's not very hard for me. I mean, even it's, to be honest, it's hard to talk about.
And
it's not that I'm trying to, keep private or anything like that. It's just for me, the stakes, what was happening was so, it's just, I guess my way of saying it is that what happens to Sindri, the humanity of loss, and the guilt and not seeing this person, and the idea of a loved one, just the idea of a loved one floating around and not able to rest, and that being my fault, is such a visceral, unimaginable thing to me.
Well,
to answer your question, that's what I brought to it, is it's just an unimaginable circumstance.
You know, having just recently experienced it, there was a, certainly we even have our days nowadays, it was only February this year, but there's moments where you're like, oh, this grief is actually physically too much for me to take. And when, what fantasy does is that it takes these things, these feelings, human moments of human experience, and it extrapolates them. So like, for example, an emotional wall will become this big actual physical ornate wall. And for this moment, for Sindri, the extrapolated form, the fantasticized form of, I have this irreconcilable, unextinguishable grief that I am going to be tormented by forever. That feeling which you get in the aftermath of a passing of a loved one, a very close loved one, is one where it does feel like, it's like to a degree that defies reality, like that level of crushing grief. And then what we have here extrapolated into a story, that is the case. I mean, it is, his soul is forever, you know, adrift. The thing that adds extra pathos there is that he did bring him back once, and it's gonna fuck me up, but my mother-in-law survived cancer twice, dude. Like, that's fucked up, man. Back in 2003, 2010. So there was a feeling of like, fuck, it got her in the end, you know, and death, I don't know if it marked Brock or some of us, like, so that cosmic injustice too. So
I think that's it's a beautiful way to put it, the cosmic injustice. And I too have had experiences with grief and all that stuff, but I'm.
Oh man, big hugs. I'm going to be really right now. Because I'm also immensely happy to see you too. And there's so many moments which, you know, it's your first time on the podcast. We had Robert. We're going to have him back.
Oh, great. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's the other thing with that is it was, I mean, this is a compliment. I mean, there were elements of shooting the stabbing scene with Robert that was just quite easy. I remember reading it. I didn't touch it much after that. I just left it alone. And they were very great because we had to shoot. It was a big scene with Richard Schiff and all everybody else. And they were Eric and Matt and the team was very sensitive to, you know, how many times we were going to have to do this and get to it. But man, it just looked in Robert's eyes and I was a mess.
Yeah, man.
Just a mess. And he did that so beautifully too. His acting in that scene was just beautiful. So I do remember between that day, the scene where I encountered Atreus and Kratos, and the funeral days where I was drained. I was happily drained. Because I think there was a part of me that just held my breath until I started seeing the cutscenes. Because I didn't see those scenes done until the game was released and people started posting them online. That I kind of realized I exhaled because I thought, okay, we told the story. And Bear McCreary's gorgeous music, just heartbreaking. What he told in notes about what's going on inside Sindri and Brock was just beautiful.
Did you riff with him a bit about that as part of like, you know, he's been so sweet in Twitter. I'll be like, so Sauron's theme, it's made up of 9 notes. So is that an allusion, 10 notes? Is that an allusion to Sauron? And he puts those little Easter eggs. He's like, I won't deny it. So did you guys riff a little bit about like, here's what I'm thinking musically for this moment?
Oh God, no. He would, really? I would, no. If he ever asked me, I would be flattered, but in a weird way to answer your question, we talked afterwards. Cause once I'd heard it, I just said, I can't believe how close that Rabes lamented the funeral. Mm-hmm. And I said, how did you score it? How did you do that? And he said, they sent me the raw footage. He said, so I saw your motion capture performance. And he said, I wrote it with seeing what you had gone through. And I wrote it with that in mind.
Well, see, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was things musically that he played with that he said was based off of what I saw you do on that day. One of them being when I stand up to Kratos.
Yeah, man. He shares that DNA with Williams. You know, Williams, he says, I compose what I feel when I'm seeing the images. So that shed light into when we're seeing and feeling that scene of you.
You mean John Williams?
John Williams. I think of them so because he's clearly of that same ilk, you know, with the shores and the, he's really there. I'm just bringing it up for context for viewers, you know, even people looking on the replay, but the way that this scene was blocked, you know, the way that everything was just so tenderly and carefully, you know, just so beautiful. And that and once again, we are in a time, you know, we have all this Avatar stuff happening in the background. We also have Avatar podcast performance capture. You're going to start seeing a lot of articles, and you will most certainly be part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. You already are of what can be rendered and what can be expressed on that level of subtle, like the most minute of, and that's what happens when there's that level of grief where it's paralyzing. It is in the micro acting, and you need technology to pick up that.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And further to your point, talking with Eric about it. He said the way we did it was, he said, what the gamers are seeing is what you guys acted on the day, where the people may have gone in and cleaned things up a little bit, but
that's what
the conveying of emotion on the face and in the voice and stuff. He said, we're just taking that from your raw mocap footage and doing what we do to it. Yeah. And I was like, well, that was, but anyway, further to what you were saying.
No, absolutely. Very specifically, and it was even rough. Also, I think we have to also talk about Raph Rossetti, Vance Kovacs, everyone who, and he is a fantastical creature. With you know, he's got the larger arms, and he has this different from what we would commonly. I mean, same way you can say this about the Na'vi. It's like, well, why do we connect? It's in the eyes first of all. It doesn't matter what the rest of it. It's in the eyes.
Yeah,
and in the energy and how this character holds themselves. Yeah. I see meditative grief. I see like paralyzing, like it's man, dude. Yeah. And now I'll get back to a space a bit more levity because we got to, but I'll say, and I'll say this because I mentioned it on Daniel's episode too. It's for Adam J. Harrington to be the classy, abundance minded actor who only will take the accolades as and awards as byproduct of his art form. That's fine. That's for you to be. For us, the community, we get to be outraged that you did not win this. Right? Okay, so Danielle says we have to make it like the Oscars. This was a dead set. You got the Game Award to us spiritually forever. We consider you to have received the supporting character Game Award. Like that's, we're going to beam. You have to, like Jeff has to do the right thing and send you a statue, buddy.
Oh, but there isn't, but that's the thing. There is no supporting.
That's what I mean. I'm trying to manifest.
That oh yeah. And I say I best ensemble.
Mm-hmm. Best yes. Ensemble.
Is the, are people seeing the image that I'm seeing right now?
Oh yes. I'm just bringing this up yet. So it's so, part of this, this
to stream. to your point, Bear did something beautiful because it starts with him, his character playing that song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment here when we shot it where it's where the male, I think it's where the male voices come in, but it's the exact moment where I remember when I was filming it, I remember I was going to lose it.
Yeah.
It was a funeral and I've had experiences with those. And I thought I have to honor my brother and keep it together. But there was a moment I put my hands on Robert and I almost just lost it. And it's that moment where you see my head go a bit and my brow furrows. And that's where Bear brought in the male voice. I just thought, oh my God, it's just,
because that's the masculine, dude. That's the brotherhood. That's the, you know, one of the most sacred bonds that happen in the human experiences. Really, and you guys were functionally dysfunctional. You were yin and yang. And so there is a true sense of, an entire half of himself feeling lost and what a thing for those male voices to come in.
So we shot it. They go away. They do their thing. I'm in I'm doing a voiceover session for some of the, you know, when Sindri's with Atreus and running along and doing all that stuff. Mm. And they said, we want to know your lips are moving here.
Mm.
When you're over Brock, what did you say? Because we are, everybody at Sony was trying to figure out what I said because it was so quiet that the mic didn't pick it up. And I said, I love you, Brock. That wasn't scripted. And
oh man,
that was on the day. That was on the day we did that. And they wanted it and they kept it. But the funny thing was, is we were in the voiceover session. And I guess they texted it to somebody and it went all around Santa Monica Studios because everybody was sending back the emoji with the tears streaming because nobody could figure out what I'd said. But I said it quietly because I thought, you know, I'm not a writer, but it just came from the moment and it was just really under my breath. But we decided to keep it. And I think it's, you know, I wanted... Sindri needed to say that to his brother before he left.
And one of the most, you know, it's a, you know, Sophos and Barlog and Williams, everyone who had a hand in the script, you know, you guys will have some beautifully, I would say even in the realm of Tolkienian, humorous and lyrical lines, so beautiful. But then to have that really just raw moment of just, I love you. You know, and it is delivered with such obviousness and such a sense of I'll never be able to directly say this to this person again. There's a surrender. There's a resignation.
Oof.
Man. No. Okay. Round two.
All
round
right. Two. What was I going to? Oh, what was I going to say about that? What has blown me away is the comments from people who have seen this section or played the game, and how they have related to their own grief, to people in their lives who've been angry, their own anger. And my heart just grew a size knowing that there's all these just beautiful people out there who sometimes understand that when somebody is raging, that the words they're using is hurtful and all that stuff, but really what's happening is that person is just an enormous amount of pain.
Like, yeah.
And not to take it personally. And I just thought, God, I, you know, if people are out there with, you know, parents that are struggling or siblings that are struggling or dealing with people at school or their workplace or whatever, that they have the strength and their own character to know that I'm not going to take this personally. This isn't about me. I'm not going to take these words from you. This is, you're in your shit. You need to figure it out. You're going to have to apologize at some point, but this is nothing to do with me.
Absolutely. And
it just made me feel good, because I thought, I hope it's nice that people are seeing that. And I, you know, Sindri's going through it and he's going to have to atone for, you know, his own words and his own behavior. But yeah, he's just.
Well, I'll say this is one of the reasons I started the podcast, and this connection between community and creators with Topic Podcast Network as well, into every possible facet of production. And certainly it's such an especially insight bringing treat to have, you know, folks of your caliber on the show, and of your level of humanity too. But what I always wanted to do is especially as we enter this era of, I said this on the last episode, of people just, it's, things are moving at a faster pace. Drama rich, deliberate, takes its time breathing, like takes its time to breathe kind of storytelling, is it's rare, and hopefully less rare after these, you know, the mark of true art is the one where it's made with that forward thinking sense in mind, which is like, let's work on it and then not just have that conveyor belt sense of get it out, make profit sooner. Mm-hmm. Like, take the time. And every scene, again, I said this about the first production, I've sent you guys letters and stuff, I've just like, I can see what you're doing. You're chucking a 1980s 1990s style of like, create this with this protective orb of old school filmmaking, where you are absolutely isolated from any sense of, you know, that instant gratification, you know, eroding attention spans, like all this stuff that I get super existential about. And let's make this thing that takes its time. And I need to highlight and be sort of a conduit right now on behalf of all those people who haven't taken a moment to express their gratitude for your hard work. I'm going to act as that sort of big delivering mechanism to express all of that, from, because on an absolutely true level, which you can see reflected in not just the sales, but in the overall response, kind of on an energy level, they and I are far beyond words at this point, with gratitude for your contribution to just this. It's budding, but it's certainly, especially with these, they are gigantic, colossal steps in the maturation and evolution of this art form. Mm. And if the whole project is what I just said of that step, you as a performer immeasurably contribute to that. There's going to be people seeing your performance saying, I want to emote, I want to convey, I want to dive emotionally into an interactive character, into, you know, this medium. So on behalf of all those many, many thousands of unexpressed people who just either didn't like or share or find their way to telling you, I want to just say, like, thank you for being who you are and doing what you do, man. This is,
well, now we're going for hug number three.
Hey, hug number three. Boom. Let's do it. We have Boop Boop Barry. There you go. Let's go. The way the writers and actors portrayed grief in this game is so visceral that you don't even have to have lost to feel it. Mm. Really feel it. So that's another reflection there from Bethan. Yeah, man. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I'm... Yeah, I don't know. I thank you. That just humbles me. I don't have any words.
We love you, man. We love you. And I evoke the rule of Wayne's World, where at one point you just say, thank you. You know, I'm so excited. Yeah.
Take
my name.
Get the wig going. Yeah. No, and it was, imagine. I just love Sindri. I love that I've got to meet him. I love that he's a part of me. I just love that he just, as I've said before, he wears on his sleeve all the characteristics that we're embarrassed about. ourselves, our neediness, the part of this we think are nerds, the things that nobody's going to be like. He's not particularly like, you know, as far as I'm Canadian, but as far as the American concept of the Wild West masculinity, you know, chewing steel and spitting bullets, he's not that at all. And yet we do find out that when Sindri gets back in touch with his anger, he also is that.
He accesses that. That was dormant in him.
Or even in 2018, the Sindri we meet in 2018 isn't necessarily... There was a couple times in the games where Sindri's alone, and where his voice sits is probably the most authentically Sindri he is. That when he gets around other people and he gets anxious and the voice gets up and it goes up here more, and there's only a couple of times where you, and then in this game particularly, there's times where you start to see the personality fracturing to set up hopefully what happened after Brock died. Yeah,
beautifully expressed. We have my favorite germaphobe from Boot Boot Barry as well, which is
my favorite germaphobe.
This is great. Yes, thank you, mate. Also, thank Boot you. Boot Barry, be cool, share the stream out. We need to get more eyes on Adam. So I'm electing you as the street team of God of War podcast. So you do that. Now we said this. Number one is the injustice, the gross injustice. I mean, I know he's a fellow Canadian, Jeff Keighley, but I need Commonwealth permission. I'm Australian, so maybe I have a back way. I need permission to physically intimidate. No, I'm kidding. but in some way. To get Jeff to 2023 Game Awards, please have supporting actor award, and to then retroactively give you.
I think you bring up a great point, and this will be up to the, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are required to make any character come alive. And being an actor in this medium, you are one part of a huge, huge effort. The detail in a character's face, the way they light the character, the way, you know, particularly with Sindri scenes, the way he's lit during those scenes so you can see the emotions on his face. But to your point, where you start getting games that take on this, I think, just for me, I can't speak on behalf of Santa Monica Studios, but they, you know, everybody put their blood, sweat, and tears into this game. And then something happens where it kind of becomes... It transcends itself, and now the game belongs to the gamers and the community. And it's how they feel about it that has taken it to another level. But you're right. It's through, you know, technical gameplay, the enjoyment, the experience, but it's emotional. And then with the stories as well. So maybe there will be, you know, as the medium continues, there will be different, you know, awards, but I would say I'm sure there's some people on the technical side of things that aren't performers that also feel that there should be categories for them too, because it's just like you know, there's just so many people involved. So I'm very, very humbled that you are championing it and other people are saying it. To me, it just tells me that the bar I set, I did my job. I told the story, and I'm very blessed that I got to, and I'm very happy the scenes were shot. I'm very happy I don't have to shoot them ever again.
Or
go to those, you know, those are, I think sometimes for acting, the joy is that you get to turn what can be a horribly negative experience and turn it into a positive one, so that either other people can see it and maybe decide not to go down that path themselves or relate to it. But the sacrifice is, or the cost of it is, you know, you got to look into a pretty ugly mirror and face things about humanity that, you know, most people would luckily go through life and not have to face. Or, you know, you gotta find your way to sit in some pretty difficult stuff.
Well, one thing with actors is that they open themselves up definitionally to especially phenomenal actors like yourself, like who are actors, right? The ones setting the bar for the art form, where I if we're going to get metaphorical, it's like you don't take like your like precious, you know, I guess Ferrari, whatever, to like you know, someone who's really not only taking their job half seriously, they approached you, and your caliber now is forever synonymous with 2 10 out of 10, like critically and commercially lauded. That's the Adam Harrington like caliber, and it is to do with someone who has committed. Like, no, I won't just be a mechanic. I'll be like someone. I'll be a craftsperson. I'll be someone who fully embodies, like, and then seeks to push the boundaries of maybe you have some of that. I don't know, Canadian. You know, James Cameron. Something in Canadian water is like, I'm determined to advance my art form. I will now redefine my art form. So that's what I mean, man. Like, yeah, so that's the territory we're talking about, and it's such a pleasure. I'm bringing up. Sorry, I'm just now just showing you my favorite scenes.
Oh yeah, okay.
I loved the Draupnir scene. I just thought we didn't know what was happening. And first of all, his sanctuary. Like, I want to live there. I'm thinking right. As many years from now, definitely is. It's the ultimate coziness, like the world between worlds, like. Everyone wishes,
and it's in a tree.
It's
like, I'm a total outdoors junkie, so that just I just love that. But I really, shooting this was a lot of fun because obviously there's no bucket going down. It was just on a set, but just shooting all of it was a lot of fun, and more fun seeing how it turned out.
Oh yeah,
I just love the shot of it starting to multiply.
He's like, yeah,
and then they grab it, and the glove is in the fore. The glove has created its own close up by being so much in the foreground, and
1,000%. In fact, what I'll do now is, I there's a great comment. He's just I'll ask it to you now, but just super quickly, Santa Monica Studio. There's two things I have to express. So first of all, you have here. The stuff that makes people like, because I'm Italian, like you get so happy that you become angry that it's like, we need an animated series. So that's animated series, number one. Number two, we have the proven template of a character, you know, Marlene, right? We have Meryl Dandridge who portrayed Marlene in The Last of Us. And now we have the, you know, Chernobyl, makers of Chernobyl, you know, Craig Mazin, like HBO highest levels of you know, TV production, they've said, look, she's HBO caliber, bring her on. All I'm gonna say is this: God of War live action, that will be I want the Weta Workshop people to work with you makeup wise. I know you're committed. You're gonna have a chat with John Rhys-Davies. You're gonna have a chat with him about the makeup, and are you prepared to make that makeup sacrifice if they get you? And they're going to maybe even do some by then. Obviously, by this, we're seeing all this amazing like stuff with Avatar. They might even be able to do makeupless. You know, they can do it without having prosthetics. Would you be open to being Sindri in the live action series?
Even if they weren't entertaining me playing Sindri in the live action series, I would happily Easter egg it by playing a janitor in the corner mopping a floor, or the local grizzly wizened old barkeeper, something like that.
All right, well, there you go. That's humble,
but absolutely. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what they do with it. They could take it into a million different ways.
They really could.
I was just so excited for Corey Barlog and that team that they're bringing this over and deciding to do it. And I just can't wait to see what Amazon's going to do with it.
Well, I am your Italian Australian Oceania region manager, which I've just elected myself. So
okay, great. Is this going to work off a commission or points
it's called the commission. Hugs. The currency is just love.
Hugs. Just love and hugs. Okay.
All love and hugs. And what we'll do is we're going to get street team stuff happening. We're going to get, we will initiate this. It's like the only, like it just, there's a, you just maintain focus. I don't know if you have this in your classes, which I want to talk about as well to amplify your wonderful work as a teacher.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. But what we'll do, we'll stay focused and treat everything else as a non-option, which is the only thing we're going for, folks, and people listening to the rewatch, pushing your prams and mowing your lawns, like get on the horn with Amazon super early and say, listen, you nailed it. One thing they did do, and fucking Bear McCreary with the themes in Lord of the Rings. Like we went to the premiere in New York. Oh, I think he was there somewhere. Bear McCreary he knows dwarves, he knows live action dwarves. He's proven, he's just, so that's already in it's proven. Like mm-hmm. producers, they love safe bets. They love templates. Yeah. Like, if can we do this yeah. with that? Done. Bring Adam in. Bring Adam in and like we have our
dwarves. And shrink him.
And shrink him.
And shrink Let's, him.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, man. So, and it's all there. Weta involved with that. You know, yeah. Lord of the Rings. It's, there's such a beautiful blend over between yeah. all of these energies. So for me, that is 100% certainty. And I will just, because I'm right over, I can harass them.
You can. Yeah. I'm
geographically capable of harassing yes. people from New Zealand.
Yes.
To get this happening.
I was geographically challenged because when I was in Australia, I went from Northern Australia to Southern New Zealand on a Oof. Flight instead of going from Sydney. Oh, and okay. I just thought, oh, this is just going to be like a 20-minute flight. This won't be
that bad. Us at our distances. Yeah. So we have Boop Boop Berry, with yes. who's become MVP of the stream. Thank you for sharing it out as well. Could you talk more about the strained relationship between the brothers? You'll likely have covered this in a few other interviews, but any maybe idiosyncratic angle that maybe you haven't riffed about before, stuff that maybe, because Guillermo del Toro does this, he gives people a Bible of like, this is what they did. They had an accident when they were 5 years old. Mm. And did you imagine kind of retroactively add these little incidences that led to certain affects and idiosyncrasies later in life? Or
they didn't give us there's no Bible. Okay. Sony, the nature of these type of games is they have to be secretive and have to keep things mm-hmm. private. I remember in 2018, the reason they told me Brock was blue, I thought, okay. But I will allow myself to think that maybe it's something heavier than that.
Right.
And I thought that I always considered them when the game is that they've split their brand apart and then it comes back together. That was my philosophy behind them both. But between the two of them, they encompass all of humanity, all of a person. And they're kind of split. And, you know, Brock's, you know, mouthy and swears a lot and doesn't care. And then Sindri is overly very, very sensitive and needy and wants to use humor and nervous and germaphobe. So I always thought that they're two halves of a person. At least that's how I approached it. As far as the strained relationship between the two of them, I just think it was so beautifully written.
Yes.
And now, of course, when you look back, the way Sindri and they both handled what they never, ever spoke about, which now looking back was probably contributed, although I don't know, probably contributed to why they stopped speaking.
Yeah.
And then coming back into it. But even in this game, you can see the, like an old married couple bickering. But it's now when you realize what's underneath it, is all the unspoken stuff, and it just kind of comes out in this, you know, in this way. But that's how I actually, it's funny. It's a great question, because the more I think about it, I didn't focus on the strained relationship, the strained aspect of the relationship. I focused on trying to reach him and always making an effort, and that effort being, you know, too much or, you know, like a mosquito.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I see my thing with their back and forths and their that contrast that obviously I don't have a brother, right? You didn't know that, but yeah, I don't. Okay. And actually, let me interrupt myself. Do you have a brother? Do you have
siblings? I have a sister, and we get along very, very well. So I didn't have that relationship, but Robert and I met. They all sent us out for a wilderness survival day.
Mm.
And Robert has an incredible sense of humor.
He's.
And he, it just made it very easy that the way they show their love for each other is through this banter.
Yeah, man.
And that was the other thing, is why it's constantly, why it's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. I um it subtly was trying to find it. I'll send it to you once. It's somewhere in my hard drive. But with the look, certainly, obviously, there's deviation between you're extremely handsome man, Robert, extremely handsome man, and what you've done is you've gone super idiosyncratic with these dwarven attributes, and they're handsome in their own way, but you know, what I was thinking design wise, I don't know if this was operating on some subconscious level, but knowing that he was a germaphobe and being taller, and then having I'm basically trying to clumsily find my way to tell you about my Frasier theory, which is that Brock looks like Kelsey Grammer.
I look like Niles
with the higher voice, like Frasier. You know, so I had to.
Yeah, I've never ever thought about that. I just know in Sindri's posture.
Yeah,
I had known people that were a bit germophobic, and the tension and the deferring, and then it kind of born out of there, and the fact that he kind of has this baby run. When he's running sometimes, but the transition after Brock died is, and I've said this before, so I'll make it quick, is that when we lose people, we sometimes will do things to keep them alive. If they like crosswords, we'll start doing crosswords. We'll start, if they cussed a lot, we'll start cussing more using the swear words they did, or we'll watch TV shows that they did. And I wanted it, considering what Sindri was going to go through and where he had to go. I thought he will take Brock on.
Yeah,
man. He will keep him alive, and his whole posture changes. And he's using Brock's hammer. And I thought that in his focus or whatever, I think he's trying to keep Brock alive because of his own responsibility in Brock's death, and also using that way of not caring to get through. I think what the animators did a beautiful job with is, if you look at it, he didn't take off his gloves. He ripped them off.
Yeah.
Right. All the edges are jagged. He ripped the gloves off. And my thought was, though we never shot it, and I know the animator or the, you know, story people would, Matt and his team would come up with something, would probably be a very ugly, rageful moment where he just loses it.
That's environmental storytelling, or like wardrobe storytelling almost.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but
definitely. We have Adam CF coming in. I'm still not finished with Ragnarok, but it has been a top-notch experience thus far, and also saying the characters are all wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Adam. Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And yes, fantastic name. Great name.
All Adams know each other. Obviously,
there's a club. Network. Yeah,
I mean, you are the first man, so
obviously. We had our own version of the internet long before anybody else did, so we can all keep in touch.
The AdamNet confirmed.
Yeah. And actually, new Adams have to get approved.
Yes. Exactly. I came so close with Albert. Okay, here it is.
They're done.
Just for a little bit of levity.
You got something there. You're onto something. That is,
his brother is Niles Crane, who is a germaphobe. I'm sorry, but
yeah. Well,
I'm glad I've at least humored you, and you're humoring me.
Yeah.
Right. So I will continue.
There's an archetype. There's an archetype to brothers. How brothers are portrayed in drama and comedy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I love is, it's, as you said, between the two of them, especially with the masculine, obviously there's going to be bickering sisters who can relate to the Brock and Sindri's as well, of all kinds of shapes and shades. But once again, it is this thing that with both of them, there was this deepening. And I'm going to cry, man. Like, for Brock's episode, when he comes back, Robert, he just, like, next weekend, I call it his episode's A Brother's Blessing, right? Because, and we're going to dive into this thing where he gives this, I mean, his death is very sudden, but there were signs of this unit, this family. That's why it tears you apart when it breaks apart, because you're just getting into that coziness of like, oh, they live in Sindri's house. And it's like they're you know, they're going on these adventures and like, and then the sudden death happens. But what I feel was happening already, and which what I really hope for you and Sindri in the third and going on titles, you know, is, or rather not even that, like it's happening, manifesting. Is what I'm hoping is there's a moment where he can, if not directly commune with some kind of remnant or spirit or something, but if there's a thing that happens where he gives his blessing in a way that evokes like I can set you straight, like this spear that I gave, this blessing, I can set you back on a right path. And I see dialogue happening there. I see symbolism there of like this brother being adrift, and then he's like this guy who forged this very definite, this very like, so I think there's some possible, I guess we're just workshopping this now, but like I would love to see this, you know, he's the guy, he's the straight talker, and he has this like this straightness to him of this directness. And that's why, you know, he feels adrift now, because he's the one who's floating a bit with his energy and like worried and concerned, but Brock is this straight line. And I think going into this, the future of this character, I empathetically, like as this person who got to know him and you, I guess, you know, in that way that you poured yourself into him, I want that for him as like someone, like we all love you and we love Sindri. We want him to find that direction again. And I think if it's either, say, for example, he goes on this quest, like, oh, I tried to commune with him, but it is truly impossible. So then it's about the inner work. And I couldn't be more excited about the potential for seeing you go through that inner journey of self-forgiveness as Sindri, man. Like,
that's a great point. I thought, you know, a lot of people are saying, when's he going to forgive Atreides? What would happen? When would he forgive Atreides? When would he forgive this? When would he forgive that? I thought, well, I don't know that he's going to be able to forgive anybody until he forgives himself.
Perfect.
And I don't know how or when, but you know, what you said about Sindri being able to contact Brock in some way. And I mean, yeah,
dude. And I mean, again, the words fail. So I'll, and when my words fail, I'll throw it to these lovely spectators here. We have Sofia Daliana, who just finished the title. She's actually on our Avatar podcast side of things, photographer, Vogue and filmmaker. And
oh my gosh, that's incredible.
So there you go. Lots of love from Sofia.
And then thank you, Sofia. Yes. Agreed. It is heartbreaking. If I talk about it much more, I'm going to have to get
clean. I'm feeling that. And I'm so glad we're preserving that. On Danielle's one, you always want to vibe things out with the energy. And like we went live on Insta, but I just wanted to just ground with you and level with you with this. And it's important to read the energetic room. So I'm really glad about that. Outsider, actually, I think this is a beautiful question. Once again, I'm sure you've answered it before, but maybe any particular unexplored angle about the reasons that drew you to acting. You're certainly one of the most humans I've ever met. So, and human is like, acting is such a human discipline. So I can see, go ahead.
A couple of things. I remember I was on a family vacation and my sister and I would always get they called it grown-up night or something, where we would go off and do our own thing. Mind you, they were like around the corner watching us. But they said, you're going to this movie. And I was like, they told me the title of it. I was like, this is a stupid documentary. It's going to be some boring Egyptian thing. It was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Shut up.
And that movie started, and I just was watching this thing at whatever age I was, just been thinking, you can do this? Like, people can do this. And then I grew up in kind of like a steel town in Canada. Like, you didn't go into acting. But in high school, we had an acting class, and we would help the local hospital do simulation drills. And I don't think I've ever talked about this. That's not like some great story, but anyway, we got to, the drama class got to be involved, and you know, they put blood on you, and it was a school bus wreck, and I get wheeled in, I'm in a wheelchair, and this girl in my class, we decided we were going to be our backstory, you know,
that's great.
Teenage kids in high school, our backstory was we were best friends and we were going to be looking for another one of our friends. And so I'm getting wheeled in, and we get separated, and I'm like, where is she? And I'm, you know, I'm just giving it, man. I'm winning awards. It's just incredible. But there was this moment where I was sitting in this wheelchair and a real nurse was over top of me, and she was, and I just looked up at her and I said, "Where's Laura?" And she brushed her hand through my hair and just said, "I don't know." And I realized I'd forgotten everything. Like, I was just having this moment with this woman and she was brushing her hands through my hair in a soothing way. And it, you know, sometimes we have those moments where after it happens, you go, "What the f- was that?" Like, that
exactly.
And that was a moment that kind of, it was just such in the moment. And I was like, wow, I really believed that was happening. And it's those experiences that drew me into storytelling because I thought, if that can make me feel that way, I just thought, what a cool thing.
I mean, it's the pursuit of truth as a career. Like,
what a beautiful way to make a living. Because Lord knows, people that have repetitive jobs, I have such appreciation for. From office workers to bricklayers to, I used to work in a gravel pit. I've worked on road crews. It's just such noble work, but the repetitiveness of it, I'm not good at that kind of stuff. But I just thought, imagine being able to make your living telling stories that help other people feel stuff, or help other people like come home at the end of their crappy day and you're involved in a way that helps them laugh. Or they get to sit around with their family and watch a movie and, you know, somebody gets a bit teary. Or, especially men, they can see me playing a character, a darker character, and think, I don't ever want to be that.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to go down that road and be that person, because that person, that's really mean and cruel. Mm. And I know they've got their shit, but, and even that. So I'm kind of lucky I've stumbled my way into this, and I've always been a curious person, and I think getting drawn into this crazy gypsy profession has been absolutely just wonderful. And it's, you know, even like you say, even the fact that you and I are sitting talking here and, you know, people are spending their time sending messages and asking me things, or even the way the game has gone, or people writing in and saying, "You broke my heart, you bastard," or whatever it is.
Yeah.
For that, just like, I have no idea why we're here. Yeah, really, right. I have no idea what this blue ball is all about. There's, you know, there's wonderful religions and all that stuff, but I just think whatever I'm doing with my time here, if I can be entertaining people and maybe helping them through their own existence here, that's pretty damn fine in my books, and I'm very blessed that I get to do it.
Well, dude, I need to. We're coming up to the hour, but you're not getting out off this show.
I'm good. I'm here. I've got my water.
You good? Excellent.
The plant is alive beside me here, so we're good.
Perfect. You remind me, I have to water my plant. So now, just so that it isn't this big exchanging of these, it's important for me always to have this be received in the spirit in which it's conveyed. There's a lot of fluff and faff and lots of superlatives get thrown around and stuff, and to the point where sometimes they lose meaning, but I really reserve what I'm about to say for just those very sacred moments. And I truly believe, I mean, before there was psychology, before there was education, before there was even language, there was a fireplace and someone moving their hands in an entertaining way. So in that way, and we're still not that far removed from those hunter-gatherer days.
No.
When we have that suspense of disbelief, like walls of prejudice melt away, walls of preconception and cultural boundaries, everything melts away. That's the sacredness of the storyteller and the entertainer and the artist. And I mean, this art form should be honored that it has Adam J. Harrington operating within it. Art, like acting, should be honored. Acting itself should be honored to have you.
Well,
seriously, man, you're living it. Seriously, dude.
And right back at you with, I mean, you and I have just met doing this, but what, yeah,
I do what I can. I mean, I couple of morphogenetic inspired patterns here, a portrait there, but mostly, and some story stuff. I do this thing called the quantum myth. I really love the idea of, you know, Joseph Campbell. Converging all different mythologies. So that's what that is. But by and large, I feel as though I'm serving most in creating these channels between, you know, community and creators. And it's all self-elected. It's all run by me. It's no whatever. That's why I feel unfettered in using like logos and stuff, because it's all just for the love of it. And what I hope to do is when I do say these things of like the sacredness of art is to get people, you know, and as you said, like I want people having heard that story, as you said, we came from a town where you don't act. You don't do acting.
No.
That is a time honored story of like defying the odds, which you've just strengthened the defiance against, like that spirit of rebellion against the expected path or the safe path or the conventional path. You've pushed someone even further just in you being who you are and unfetteredly and irrepressibly following this path of yours. And that idea of like someone's truth creating this like this vapor trail of like creating this ripple of I should be more authentic to myself. Actually, I should use my time more towards being, you know, in a profession that speaks to me more. Like that's it's on a human level. I've said up and down my true genuine appreciation for you as a human, but then and as an artist, but yeah, just as an energy in this world, it's like, thank you. Oh my God. Like I was expecting just to kind of riff about stuff, but you are like a true soul brother right now.
Oh my gosh.
For sure, man.
I feel like we should, like, once the interview's over, we need to go grab,
right?
Go sit down and break bread, but there's a bit of a pond between us.
A little bit of a pond, but I'll make my way there. I'm inextricably drawn. Yeah. Oi. Now I'm going to get super aggressive Italian Australian. Mate, when you come here, you're not going to lift a fucking finger.
Oh, don't.
We're going to take care of you. You don't have to.
No. I appreciate you saying that. Whereabouts are you in Australia?
We're in Canberra, which is the capital.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the least. Go ahead.
It was a design city.
Thank you. It is the least Australian part of Australia. And that's why I put on the fake affect there. But what we don't have in Australianness, we make up for in really expensive amenities. The bread's really expensive here, Adam. I'm kidding. This is getting off the rails. But dude, look, we've just crossed the hour. What a gift of a human being. Hug number four.
Hug number four.
Hug number five as well.
I love this. I've never hugged so much in an interview before. Man. I think it should be done more. Unless it gets weird and creepy, and then it shouldn't be done at all.
Absolutely. And now here's a wonderful thing, which I want you to please, like the Adam J. Harrington podcast, I'll produce it. You have such wonderful, worthwhile thoughts, and I'd like to be part of contributing to chronicling that in podcast form. Maddie comes in and says, Sindri is my comfort character.
Oh.
Right here, baby. Right there.
Maddie, I love that. I think he's my comfort character too. Well, maybe not when he's in set. We called him Savage Sindri.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because we couldn't, when we were shooting stuff, we had to delineate if it was pre or post.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. But no, yeah, he is a comfort character. Yeah. I like I said, I'm just so happy that I got to be on this journey. And then when they brought in what they did for Ragnarok, I'm so happy I got to meet him and commune with him. And I'm part of a huge team that brought him to life.
And continuing that journey threefold. Number one,
producer
hat goes back one. Number one, enemy series. Number two, Bear McCreary, pull some strings. Amazon, come on. Adam J. Harrington as live action Sindri. Let's do this. Number three... Okay, the third chapter, which we, you know, obviously it's going to be the sixth or whatever, but my friend, my dear friend, we are so, so thrilled for your path going forward. Hey, it's the Topic Podcast Network. We do Star Wars. We do Avatar. You're going to be all over it. You won't be able to look anywhere where there won't be.
From your lips upwards.
There you go. Yeah. So mate. Have an amazing rest of the day. I can't. Would you like to? Did you have a good time? Did you want to jump back on the show sometime?
Maybe? Oh, absolutely. I'd love to come here anytime.
Really?
I mean, right back at you. It's been absolutely a pleasure talking with you, and I love what you're doing and the energy you're putting out there and all that stuff. It's the one thing about the. I'm not a game player. I don't sit still very easily when I'm inside. But I've been so impressed with this entire community of hundreds of thousands of millions of people, but between the charity work that everybody does and the way they approach things and the way you're talking about it and this meld of, if I have a platform, what am I using it for? It's just been beautiful. So kudos to you, because there's a lot of people in this world who use their platform in very selfish, unhealthy ways. And it is a choice. And I'm so impressed that people like you and others are choosing to spend their time and their focus this way. It's extraordinary. It really is.
Dude, I'm beyond right now. I'll just say that. No adjectives, nothing left. I'm beyond. Mm-hmm. And you with your platform too, and leveraging that visibility you have as a performer and as a teacher into teaching. Oh my God, we didn't even dive into this. So, okay, folks, listen, Adam J. Harrington, I'm going to bring up his Instagram now. We're going to get rid of the, and we're going to do the full, you know, extensive.
Hey, this is where this is where my skin, I start to feel like I've got like Sindri. I've got spiders crawling all over me. Yeah, I'm going to start. I'm just going to start cleaning something that I don't have to self-focus. I think
you got this, buddy. No, that's hilarious. Okay. Adam J. Harrington.
Yes.
Okay. So here we go. We are talking about a teacher and a coach. Okay, yes. Folks. AdamJHarrington.com. All right. So
yes.
This is what we're talking about here. Also, outdoorsy type people. This is a man who I am certain would be so down for, like, I don't know, all kinds of cool outdoor workshop sort of thing. Like right here, this is real. This is the real deal.
I am going beet red, and also very appreciative of you.
Getting my Italian on. Siediti, sit right there. Now you just take the love. Now we're gonna see lots of sugar your way.
I am. I'm looking at myself. Very I'm going good. Bright red.
Okay, so head over there, AdamJHarrington.com. Now I need to also again. Producer hat firmly on now. Whatever endeavors you have, Adam. Mm-hmm. So we've just reached 10K on Avatar Podcast. We have this kind of growing network. If any point you'd like any kind of thing with signal boosting or amplifying your endeavors, man, the whole Topic Podcast Network is at your disposal.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Right? That's so generous. And thank you, Boop Boop Barry.
Yeah, Barry.
Thank you for contributing to the podcast and, you know, making statements and asking good questions to give us something to talk about. I hope I answered your question about the strained relationship between Sindri and Brock.
That was, and so eloquently answered too. So beautiful testimonials there. And look, on the most worthwhile path in within your chosen discipline, and as a human, which is the first level we all exist on, like the path as a human you've chose in putting out and living from, not just talking about walking, this positivity, this sense of coming to the true core authentically of life that you can tell by your, you know, Sindri might be up here a lot of the time, but you are very grounded to truth, grounded to what matters most in life. You infuse your art with that, and everyone in your sphere, Adam, like from family, friends, everyone who's blessed enough to have had any level of Venn diagramming with Adam J. Harrington is super blessed, and I consider myself blessed for today, absolutely, and going forward, man, for sure.
I'm gonna have to answer in the Wayne's World way you suggested, because you.
Yep, just do it. He's gonna do it.
No, I don't know how to do it.
You just say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Make sure to have a lovely rest of your day.
I will. This has been a beautiful time with you.
It's been wonderful, man. Big hugs.
Hug to everybody out there. Sindri style hug to everybody there. Go hug somebody you love.
Please do. And we're going to jump into the green room now. Bye, everybody, in 3, 2, 1. Bye.